You'll be pleased to know that we won't have a lengthy sermon tonight. I fell into my usual trap today. We were very kindly looked after by Mrs. Gray for dinner, and I normally don't take anything before the evening service, or very little. But I backslid today and ate too much. That's just the basic truth of it. And now, the Gray family will be living quite close to us, where we live, and no doubt we'll be able to reciprocate and we'll get them down to our house for dinner. But it was entirely my fault. You'd think after nearly 50 years preaching, I would know that it's wiser to do that, but then in the Free Church you don't have a lot of wise men, and you certainly don't have one in me. But I'm here anyway, and there's a very solemn passage of Scripture I want you to look at with me, just for, well, I would say a shorter time than usual tonight. I'll not be keeping you long, but there are things that I would like to say. You know, one of the greatest privileges of living in a land like ours is to be able to go to a place like this and hear the gospel of Christ. I'm sure you're aware that in this world in which we live this evening, there are multitudes of people, millions, who cannot meet as we do. And if they tried it, they would, as has happened already, been cast into prison and even to death. You're just not allowed to do it. You can go into the streets of Enniskillen tomorrow and hand out gospel tracts. You couldn't do that in Saudi Arabia. You couldn't do that in parts of Islamic lands. You'd be in trouble. You know the strange thing? We're familiar with the story, I'm sure, of Saddam Hussein, who was a brutal dictator, a man who thought very little of ending the lives of men and women. And yet, I could have gone into the city of Baghdad, the capital of the country, and hand out gospel tracts. And I wouldn't have been, at least officially, attacked for it. So it's a strange world. And many brethren and sisters of yours and mine tonight are living in fear of the knock at the door, of the squad of soldiers coming to take them away, to cast them into prison or worse. So to hear the gospel like we can hear it, friends, I tell you, it's a blessing indeed. Now, Felix was a very privileged man. Not only did he know and hear the gospel, but he heard it from the lips of the Apostle Paul, the man that wrote over half of our New Testament scriptures, a great preacher, missionary, teacher, and pastor. And not only that, but he heard it very often. Verse 26 tells us that he sent for Paul the oftener. So on a regular basis, he had Paul come to him. And after 2 years, think of that, consistently, consecutively, for 2 years, and an often in a regular basis, he had this great man, this giant for God brought in before him. And Paul, on every occasion, would have led it on the line, straight from the shoulder preaching of the Word of God. So it's an important passage of Scripture tonight, because it tells a very solemn, and indeed in many ways a very sad story. I want us to think of three very simple things about Felix. We're told in verse 25 that as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. That's the first thing. That's my first point tonight. Felix trembled. Have you ever seen, at any stage in your life, a sinner under such conviction of sin that he trembled? I have seen that. Not only in the early days and martyrs in Ravenhill, but in our own ministry and throughout the years of gospel missions and campaigns. And I have been very privileged, and ever since I was ordained, conducting gospel missions every year, right up to retirement. And that's a joy and that's a blessing. And during that time, we have seen sinners tremble. I've had them come to the manse. One outstanding case I'm thinking about just now. A man who came with his wife and he literally trembled at the doorstep. Trembled. He was shaking. Such was the burden of sin upon him. Another man came one evening, he told me, "If I don't get right with God tonight, preacher, I'm dead." Thank God he did get right. But you know, to see a sinner trembling is a wonderful thing. It's not so common a thing now, maybe as it used to be. Read the history of revival, whether in Nicholson's time or in 1859 or in the Lewis revival or the Welsh revival or whenever. You'll read stories like that time after time after time. Now the question is, why did Felix tremble? Well, he trembled because of faithful preaching about the Savior. Verse 24 says, at the last part, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. This is what Paul preached. Not a mere series of doctrine, although doctrine's important. Not a defense of the faith, and that's important. But he preached Christ that so many so-called preachers today fail to do. There are not many people, and not a great number of preachers in our province tonight that really preach Christ. They can preach about Christ. They can preach about the golden rule, about living in peace with your neighbor, about being a good and kind neighbor, and that in itself is a good thing. But there's no preaching of Christ. And beloved, this is the content of true preaching. This is the sum and substance of the one gospel. It's Christ. And this is Paul at his best. The apostle was in his element preaching Christ. Oh God, help me and my brethren to preach Christ. Faithful preaching. There was also a forthright proclamation of Scripture. Verse 25, he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Where did he get that from? Where do we read about righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come? The Word of God. Folks, that's all we have tonight. I have hundreds and hundreds of books in the study. I get rid of half of them when I retired, but I still have hundreds and hundreds of books. And I would be quite an avid reader. Maybe not as much as I used to, but I love to read. And I love to read all kinds of material. But when it comes to the preaching, the source of everything is the Word of God. Without this book, we have nothing. Without an infallible Bible, we have no message at all. You've got to proclaim the word. And I'll tell you something. That's sufficient. That word is enough. You need no more. Oh, help us to preach the Bible. Wasn't it old Bishop Chillingworth that said, the Bible and the Bible only, the religion of Protestants. I agree with that. Martin Luther, 500 years ago, discovered that great truth. That man almost killed himself trying to find how a man could be just with God. How can a man who's a sinner and unclean, how can he be justified in the sight of God? And through the perusal of the book and the study of the scriptures, Luther came to realize what it was. Because in this book, beloved, there is revealed the gospel message. How a sinner can be saved. Not by joining a church, adhering to a set of rules, even listening to Luther's 95 thesis, good as it was. It's the scriptures. The proclaiming of thus saith the Lord. Why are we opposed to sodomy? Because the Bible is opposed to it. Why are we opposed to abortion? Because the Bible is opposed to it. Why are we opposed to euthanasia? Because the Bible is opposed to it. Why are we opposed to same-sex marriage? Because the Bible is opposed to it. It's what the scripture says. And I know tonight that people don't pay any heed or attention to the Bible. It's a closed book. As I mentioned this morning, the ignorance of people of basic scriptures, atrocious but widespread. Now, faithful preaching about the Savior and a forthright proclaiming of the scriptures, it will lead to a fearful perplexity for the sinner. And that's what it did in Felix's case. You can but imagine what was going on in this man's heart. He was troubled. He was trembling. And then he thinks about his position. His wife and family. He sums everything up. Knowing what he ought to do and what he should do, he thinks about all that he has in society and in authority, and he just says no. You ever meet people like that, Christian? I know I have. And what a tragedy when with deliberate intent a person says no to Jesus. I have seen them flee from God's house rather than come to Christ. It's sad. Felix trembled. My second point is this. Only Felix trembled. There were many there that day. We don't read of them trembling, they all heard. Verse 23 reminds us that Felix commanded a centurion. So there was a centurion there. The commander of at the very least 100 men, and probably more than that. Verse 24 reminds us also that when Felix came, he came with his wife Drusilla. There's no mention of her trembling. The word didn't seem to affect anyone else except Felix. Isn't that an amazing thing? You and I, as we look back on this event, we might ask ourselves, how could anyone sit and listen to the Apostle Paul and not be moved? Well, listen. There were many that listened to the Lord Jesus and they weren't moved either. So it's no strange thing. It's very often the case, you know, that, and I remember even in the days of great blessing in our free church when on a weekly basis, in some cases nearly a daily basis, people were being converted. It wasn't a question of who's going to be saved, or I wonder will any be saved tonight. It was a question of, I wonder how many will be saved tonight. And there were days like that, that spread out over a few years. Great days that they were. Only Felix trembled. Some meetings, you would look around you, especially if you're in the pulpit, and you would have seen people through the preaching of the gospel who were moved. We saw tears in the pews, but not from everyone. That's always been the way. Remember one meeting when a man was putting up his hand in response to the gospel appeal. And when he got it up a little like this, his wife reached across, grabbed his arm and pulled it down again. He never raised it again. Doesn't affect everyone at that particular time. Felix, you see, was an individual who pleased men. Verse 27 reminds us he was willing to show the Jews a pleasure. As long as he could keep favor with these Jews, he was happy enough to reject the Savior. And then verse 26 reminds us he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul. He was a man who preferred money. He wanted silver more than a Savior. Ah, listen, there's many like that tonight. I know of people who wouldn't come to Christ because they had this love of making the money. And there's nothing wrong with being successful in business. I know, I'm thankful to God when I hear about the Lord blessing people in business, God's people. I think it's a wonderful thing. But not if you make that your God and your sole motivation for life. Felix loved the money. And although he professed much, remember, it was he who sent for Paul. He seemed to have an interest. Indeed, he declared that interest. And he wanted to hear about Jesus. But at the end of the day, it meant very little. For we're told he left Paul bound. And that just sums up this trembling man called Felix. He was willing to listen. He was willing to declare an interest and to show an interest, but he left the apostle bound. He didn't set the man who brought the gospel to him free because he wanted to show the Jews a pleasure and he wanted to make money out of Paul. He mustn't have known very much about preachers if he thought there was going to be money involved in getting money out of a preacher is like getting blood out of a stone. They don't have too much of it to start with. Isn't that wonderful? He trembled. Only Felix trembled. No one else in that whole gathering. And there could have been hundreds there. No one else was moved at all. What an amazing thing. Only Felix trembled. And then I say finally tonight, not only did Felix tremble, not only did only Felix tremble, but Felix only trembled. That's all he did. He didn't take the second step, the needed step. It's not enough, friend. You know, we live in a very strange time. Everybody wants and tells you, forget the past. Bear no thought for the hundreds and thousands of innocent people that were slaughtered on our own land. And God's people that have been slaughtered all over the world as we meet in this church tonight. The attitude of men is, oh, listen, this is a new start. Do you ever hear that expression? You're sick listening to it, I'm sure, as I am. It's a new start. It's all behind us. Forgive and forget. Now, that sounds wonderful. But the thing that they forget themselves is this. The only basis of God forgiving a sinner is that sinner's repentance. A man will never be saved if he does not repent of his sin. And that means more than feeling sorry for it. Remember, Judas felt sorry for it, but he only felt sorry for it because he was caught. Genuine repentance is a wholly different thing. Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I want to forsake it. I want to flee from it. I'll never again go back to it. Repentance, that's a complete turnaround. Your face as a sinner is toward hell. Repentance means you'll turn and face heaven. And if a man exercises repentance, demonstrates repentance, receives Christ, he'll be saved from that moment and for all eternity. Has to be repentance. Felix had none. That's why he only trembled. There has to be a readiness as well. Look what he says. When I have, his attitude is, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. Friends, there's never a convenient season. Remember years ago listening to a tremendous sermon, Mr. Paisley's, he called it the folly of procrastination. That's a big word, isn't it? Simply means to put it off. The way you might do, brother, when the wife wants you to paint the house or mow the grass or whatever, you'll say, I'll do it next week. I'll do it in a day or two. I'll do it again. But that's procrastination. And if you're a married man, you'll know how foolish that is. But that's what people do. Well, you see, that's what they do with the gospel. Oh, I'll get saved at some convenient time, but not now, not yet. I want to have a great life. I want to enjoy myself. I want to feel the pleasures of this old world. And then I'll come to Jesus. I'm going to be like the dying thief. People have said that. What they forget is there were two thieves. And one of them never repented. One of them never believed. One of them never went to paradise. One of them tonight's in hell. And will be there for all eternity. There has to be a readiness to receive Christ. Not to put off this decision for some other time. I was just reading this morning about D.L. Moody's great campaign in Chicago. When at the end of his meeting, one of the biggest he ever addressed, he told the people to go home, think about salvation, come back next week, and get right with God. As he was making that very appeal, you could hear the siren outside the building, outside the auditorium. The great fire of Chicago had commenced. And multitudes of people were burned to death. And Moody swore from that time he would never again tell people to put it off. He would impress upon them the need there and then to give their hearts to Jesus. Oh, there has to be a reception of Christ. Maybe some of you in this meeting have been troubled. Maybe at one stage you've even trembled. But you've never come. Will you come tonight? I'm here, your servant, for Jesus' sake. If you'll excuse me from going to the door this evening, it's very hot up here. I'm burning. But if you want to speak with me about these issues, just wait behind as others go. I'll be in the pulpit for a moment and in the church for a wee while. Come and see us. We'll be happy to show you from the Word of God how you can get saved. The hymn writer said of God, His love has no limits, His grace has no measure, His power has no boundaries known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. And thank God he does. You need to come to him tonight. May the Lord help you to come. We'll sing in closing.